We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. And I'm well excited to welcome to the show Caregiver Dave. Dave, how are you? And it's Friday, but again, we have to close out Friday with an unbelievable guest. And you are really, really interested in this guest for sure, especially with the hook about the title, right, Dave?
Yes. Thank you for welcoming me. Gretchen Bonaducci. We remember that last name, don't we? She's one resilient woman. It's not easy when people remember you for a turbulent marriage that you were in and a union once spotlighted by cable TV and all of its guts and glory. The mom of two, rock band musician, television producer, entrepreneur. She once had a line of clothing and jewelry for her Hot Topic. Also the wife of Partridge Family alum Danny Bonaducci. We all know him, don't we? Welcome to the show, Gretchen.
Thank you. What an introduction. My goodness.
Well, I do my best.
Yes, you do. That was quite impressive.
So, Gretchen, how in the world, let's start from the very beginning. How did you meet Danny?
Well, I was at an entertainment company in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was my job to get people on radio shows. Like if he was doing a baseball card fair, I'd have to try to get people on. But it happened to be a psychic fair. And so it was my psychics on the radio and psychic on his radio show. And the funny story is that a couple days before the psychic was on his show, someone from the network, like the psychic group, ran into him and said, "Oh, my gosh, let me read your palm." And she was going, "Oh, my goodness, you're going to get married." And he's like, "Really? Well, do you have a name?" And she said, "Oh, it's this girl with all this hair who's, like, really skinny." And at the time, it kind of fit the description of the girl he was dating. And so when she said, "Oh, her name is Gretchen," he's like, "Gretchen, that's weird. I don't know any Gretchens." And then a couple days later, when I called to confirm the psychic, he got the, like, the message, and it said, "Please call Gretchen." So he kind of freaked out, like, "Oh, my God, that's so weird." So that's kind of how we met.
Now, how much did you pay the psychic to tell him that?
I know. It seems like I would have done that, but I had nothing to do with it. When she told me the story, I thought it was just so funny.
It was fate.
So Gretchen...
You know, I do not think there are accidents. I totally think everything happens
the
way it's supposed to.
Absolutely, Gretchen. So kind of like going into the whole thing about it happened for a reason. Was it love at first sight, Gretchen?
No, you know what? I don't think you can be in love with someone until you actually know them. I just had sort of been in this place where I didn't really want to have, you know, sexual relationships with a person I wasn't married to. So I said that, you know, if you want to have sex with me, then you have to marry me. And he said, okay. Yeah. And so he called a minister out of the Yellow Pages, and he came over and married us. And we were married 18 years.
And how long was the courtship?
Well, we kind of started dating after we were married because we really didn't know each other. You know, got married very quickly. But the good thing was that it was so much fun in the beginning because we were just getting to know each other. I mean, like everybody, when you first start dating, it's the best time, you know, when you're just getting to know somebody. And it worked out kind of amazing that we were married for 18 years.
Yeah. Are you a redhead?
I am not. No.
So what's it like being married? I always, you know, there's this thing that goes around that redheads are hot-tempered and intense. Is that true for guys as much as, it, you know, mostly they say it about girls?
Yeah, I think it's true in Danny's case for sure. But I mean, he's Italian. He has red hair. I mean, who knows why? But yeah, he definitely could be a little difficult.
Well, that the person you met is what ended up happening. Like the one that you met would turn out the way he's turned out and gave you a lot of challenges in life.
You know what? I didn't really know about his drug history and how severe it was. So I think that was a challenge from the beginning. I realized within, you know, the first couple months that he had just come out of rehab when we got married. I think he'd only been out for a few months. And I never have really experimented with drugs, so I didn't really know that much about them. you know, other than smoking pot when I was 13 years old. So it took me a little while to catch on that he was starting to backslide a little bit. So I realized quickly that I was going to need to really stay on top of him, you know, because I didn't want him to get in trouble again. And so I would sleep with my hand on him. So if he moved, I would wake up. I'd hide the keys in the dryer every night. So if he woke up and wanted to try to leave, he wouldn't have, you know, transportation. So, yeah, it was a little challenging at first.
So you sounded like you were pretty naive at the time. Did you even know what rehab was? And was that a red flag?
Yes, of course I knew what rehab was, but I've never had dealt with anyone like that before. So, you know, it was a learning experience for me to try to figure out how to not let him get into trouble with drugs again. I would sleep with my hand on him, so if he moved, you know, I would wake up. I would put our car keys in the dryer every night, so if he did wake up, he couldn't go anywhere. I took all of his money away from him, which was kind of amazing that he let me have it. He really didn't know me, you know, so I would give him $10 a day to park and just not let him have any access to money. So it was, you know, a difficult period. But, you know, as we were dating and getting to know each other after we were married, you know, I was getting deeply in love with this man, and I wanted to help him and take care of him and try to build
wanted
a really great life
him.
With him. I am a rescuer, totally guilty, yes.
Yeah. And you were in love, and no doubt you were starstruck. I mean, who wouldn't be flattered that a big movie star, you know, wants to not only date you but marry you, boom, like that.
Totally. I mean, he had to go by Danny Partridge on the radio at the time, which just killed him. Like, he was horrified at 31 years old, but they made him do that. So there was no missing who he was. But he's 6 years older than I am. And I never really watched that show because I was five when it was on. And I was in Germany, too, so I didn't really see it. So I didn't know the impact of that show. Like, I didn't realize how that was such an iconic thing, like the Brady Bunch, the Partridge Family, until we were married. And anywhere we went, all over the world, people knew who he was. Like, I didn't really realize that when we got married.
Did you like that? Yeah. Did you like that, Gretchen? Oh. Did you like the fact that everywhere you go, he was recognized?
I thought it was fun. I mean, he definitely loves his fans and was very generous, and I didn't care, you know, like I ended up being the picture taker most of the time. And I thought it was nice that he appreciated his fans so much and realized that they paid his bills, you know, so he was always incredibly kind to anyone and was so thrilled that anyone cared about him at all.
Yeah. Hey, tell us about the infidelity. Now, I know you loved him deeply, and there's just something about women who love men who cheat on them, and they just justify it. I mean, what was going on in your head? How did you justify loving this man that was cheating on you?
Well, first of all, I didn't really know what was going on. And secondly, I think a thing that is important for people to understand is when you're raised in a really religious home, which I was. I was raised Southern Baptist. We were in church every Sunday. It almost kind of victimizes you a little bit because you're so conditioned. Forgive, forgive, turn the other cheek, you know? Yeah. And so I didn't know what was happening. And whenever I would confront him, because I thought it was, he'd be like, no, I would never do that to you. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to believe him, you know? Like, I don't think that way. Like, I don't understand people that can live a double life, you know, when you're at some girl's house or boy's house, whatever the case may be, and you're married and you come home and you can just act like nothing is going, you know, that's so weird to me. I'm just not built that way.
Oh, yeah.
So,
the
you know,
drug lies very well.
Yeah. And also I just think, you know, when you are raised, as I said, you just totally are conditioned to forgive people.
Yeah.
And I definitely wasn't going to leave my marriage over something I thought was happening, you know, until I had proof, which when I finally did have proof was when we had cell phones and computer, you know, and that was how I finally caught him and he couldn't get out of it. You know, I had to really confront him about it.
Is that like 18 years into the marriage? At what point in the marriage did you start becoming aware?
Probably about 12 or 13 years in when, you know, there were cell phones and it was easier to catch people or computers. And so then, you know, when I finally did find out, and then we tried to fix it, you know, because I didn't want to end my marriage, but I also had to realize if I don't get out now, in 6 months, I'm going to be in the exact same position. Like, this just seems to be a constant reoccurring thing. And, you know, at some point you just have to know that it's not a good situation for you. And I also wanted to get my kids out of it. You know, I was watching an episode of Dr. Phil, and he said kids would rather be from a bad situation than in one. And that really hit home to me, that I was like, wow, I'm kind of keeping my kids in a bad situation here. You know, with he's sober, he's not. He's taking prescription medication. Now he's sober. You know what I mean? It just wasn't the best thing. You know, I'm an adult and I could choose to deal with it, but I didn't think it was fair to do to my kids.
Now, Gretchen, did Gretchen, did he cheat a lot that you didn't know about before even cell phones and computers?
Well, I did. I had a TV show after Danny and I did Breaking Bonaducci on VH1. I had another show. And I was producing on the show, and a lot of the producers said, oh, you know, it'd be really great if Danny comes on the show. And I was, you know, as a producer, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that would be a great thing. I'm sure people would love to see how things work out between us. And so the only way he would do it is if I went on his radio show, which I did. And we just got into, you know, a horrible argument. And he said during that show, I only cheated on you 12 times. So that's what he admits to. So,
Oh my gosh. I'm like, oh, my bad.
Yeah. I should have 12 times. That's how
he justifies it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, what he admits to. But, you know, who knows? And at this point, I don't care. Like, I'm so happy he's remarried and happy and doing well. Like, the only reason I wanted to write a book was because I wanted to put my perspective out there. You know, he's had radio shows or TV shows to say a lot of things about me, which some are true, some are not true. And, you know, I remember my daughter said to me one day, she came home, she's like, Mom, all of Philadelphia hates your guts. I'm like, huh?
No.
And, you know, he was able to say things. And to me, I don't accept your hate. You know, if you want to read my book and read about me and me telling about myself and you hate me, then I accept it. But, you know, I didn't want someone else to betray me in ways that were not necessarily true, if that makes sense. Yep. I mean, that was the whole reason I wanted to write the book, is I wanted to have my own say about myself. And, you know, I had to be really honest. I put stories in there that I'm not in particular proud of, you know. But I think when you're writing a book and talking about your experience, you have to be totally honest, even about things that you're not proud of.
Yeah, I can't get over that. I only cheated on you 12 times. That's like the guy who beats his wife. He says, well, I only beat her once a week, you know. Tell us about the book. Go ahead and finish that.
I agree with you that, you know, a lot of times people can justify things. And I think he sort of felt, as long as I had my lifestyle and he was working and, you know, he just kind of felt like he could do whatever he wanted, I think was his mindset. And I think a lot of people that cheat who are wealthier people kind of feel
famous.
That way. Yeah. Like if it's a wife cheating on a man and she's the breadwinner and the famous or whatever, you know, I think people just feel like, oh, well, it's okay because I'm taking care of this part of your life. So whatever I want to do myself that doesn't have anything to do with you is fine. And I think that's kind of you see it in Hollywood all the time. I honestly don't know why anyone gets married here, to be honest. I mean, it just doesn't work out. There's too much temptation.
So Gretchen, we were talking about temptation, different things like that. He said 12 times. He could have said that just so he made himself look good on the radio. That's for sure, Gretchen. What kind of things do you want to address, Gretchen? So Gretchen, what stuff do you want to address I guess we have to pick up your book to find out some of the things you addressed that Danny said about you that's not true, that you put in the book.
You know what? I didn't really specifically address things that he said because I don't really even know, you know, what he was saying, but I said the truth about myself and people surrounding me. So, you know, I just, as I said, have you ever seen the musical Hamilton?
I have not. I want to.
But I heard about it.
Yeah.
I heard about it.
Well, there's a song in there called Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story. And that was, it's kind of the ending of my book that I felt like that's exactly why I wanted to write this book. You know, that song is exactly why, you know, you have a life and you want people to think of you in ways that are true. And so that's kind of what my motivation behind the book. And it was, in my mind, I was sort of writing a Bridget Jones diary, only true. You know, like a lot of these situations I've been in have been completely absurd, you know, and I tried to write it from more of an entertaining standpoint, which is why even the title of the book, Surviving Agent Orange, what that means is that with our code word for Danny, my assistant and I, whenever, you know, we were keeping track of Danny, it was like, Agent Orange is coming in the house. Agent Orange is leaving for his interview. You know, so that was why we picked that title. And then also, you know, I did need to tie myself to him in some way. And so, you know, getting thrown into the Partridge Family bus seemed like a very apropos title as well. You know, like I'd been through a lot of things. And I talk about a lot of great things, too. You know, I'm not just writing a book that is saying terrible things. I say a lot of really nice things as well about him, because you can't be married to somebody for that long and not have a lot of great. You know, I think that we either had really great or really terrible. There really wasn't a lot of in between. And that's kind of a hard way to maintain a marriage.
I have so much I want to ask you, but time is limited. But let's talk about the being thrown under the Partridge Family bus. What the heck does that mean?
I think it's just me saying that, you know, I was in a lot of absurd situations, and it's just the saying people say, oh, I got thrown under the bus by that guy, or, you know, so it just seemed like a funny title. And again, I wanted let people who, you know, maybe pick up the book go, oh, this looks entertaining. And not when people go, oh, did you write a tell-all book? I'm like, no, that just sounds like your intention is mean.
Yes.
You know, like I left a lot of things out that I thought would be things that
you can tell us now, Gretchen.
You know, like I wasn't. Yeah, I know. But yeah, it wasn't my intention to write a mean book to be mean to him in any way, shape, or form. It was me just wanting to tell my story.
See, that's fantastic, and I think that's great.
I really like you. You are such a nice person. Isn't she a nice person?
She's a nice person, and then here's the question, Gretchen, about celebrity. He was first the celebrity, then you did your show with him on VH1, and then you produced your own show. So you kind of, in a way, have evolved to be a celebrity. How are you different than Danny and with your celebrity status of the time that you were in the spotlight?
Well, that's very kind of you to say I'm a celebrity, because I'm really having a hard time getting on any shows because they don't think I am one.
Really? Are you kidding me? I'm shocked about that. I saw it. I said,
yeah, no, no.
Go ahead. You got to.
I've been getting a lot of calls.
Sorry. Go ahead, Gretchen.
I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt. But I was just saying, my publicist has been saying, oh, yeah, well, we talked to this show, that show, and they're like, well, we only want A-listers. So, you know, what can you do? But I actually prefer producing and being behind the scenes anyway. I mean, I'm not saying I would turn it down at Dancing with the Stars or Housewives of Beverly Hills, which I've actually been up for, you know, wanted to cast me because the paycheck is great. But I think I'm different than most people in Hollywood, and I know I am, because I always try to come from helping people, which is unheard of here. You know, nobody wants to help you. And I just feel it's kind of your obligation when you get into a position to help everyone you can. And that's what I'm doing with my book. Every catering person, every hair and makeup person, every person that I've dealt with, anything now that I get, I'm trying to bring with me. You know, like, you gave me a job. If I get this made into a movie, I'm going to have you on as the producer. Because I just think paying it forward and coming from helping people, I think that's why I'm getting at least some help here, because I've always tried to treat people kindly, you know, and whether it's, the executive producer to the catering person.
Well, that's your biblical roots. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you.
And, I mean, it's such a great way to live. It really
is.
Like, I feel good every morning.
You have
that
peace and joy.
Trying to help people. And, you know, I've tried to get all of my friends' book deals, you know, and just anything I can do to help other people. Because I'm definitely going to leave L.A. as soon as my house sells. I just put it on the market. And I just want to have a nice, quiet life, and I want to leave here doing good things.
That's fantastic, Gretchen. What other projects?
Nice.
So are you still producing? You're an entrepreneur in producing. So what are you doing now, Gretchen? You talk about the book being out,
Well, that comes out on the 14th, so I've got a lot of book signings all over the country. And then I have a show that I'm producing on called Cooking with Rockstars. And we've just got a ton of rock stars booked to cook with. And that's kind of all I can say about it. But I've just been so lucky and so blessed that things just keep, you know, coming through for help. And I didn't even pursue that job. The person found me, you know. And so I'm just very lucky. And I love producing. It's a lot of fun. I've had many shows optioned by big production companies, but it's really hard to get a show on the air now, which you wouldn't think,
is.
Netflix and Hulu and TV, but it's really not easy anymore to get something on.
Well, congrats. You can't tell us. When can you tell us, Gretchen? You'll have to come back to promote that for sure. So stay in touch with me. Shoot me a message. Follow me on Twitter, wherever, and say, hey, Neil, when we're looking to promote that show, I want you back on for sure, Gretchen.
I would love to.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, after Breaking Bonaducci, we did that for two seasons on VH1. Then we decided not to do a third season because we figured if we do a third season, we're definitely going to get a divorce. It just was so volatile when we were shooting. And so we gave them the idea, I know my kid's the next child star. So I produced on that show. I associate produced on a TV show for NBC called Life Moments. So, you know, it's fun. I really enjoy doing that.
Awesome. Dave has the final question that Dave has, because Dave would have 1,000 more questions for you, Gretchen, because again, you have such an interesting, everyone needs to pick up the book for sure. But Dave has the question why I bring him on is there's also a moral to the story, and Dave has a story for you now, Gretchen. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, I want to hear.
Well, I've been a caregiver to my beautiful wife, Charlene, for 22 years. She had a 3-day headache that turned into a stroke. She lost her speech. She became paralyzed on the right side. And after making every mistake in the world that a caregiver can make, I decided to help other caregivers to not do what I did. So I became Caregiver Dave. And I have a radio show, a membership website, speak all over the country on TV and universities like Harvard and University of Hawaii. And my message is how to prevent your loved one's illness and disease from actually killing you. Because 30% of caregivers die before their loved ones do. And so caregiverdave.com is where I send people to stay out of the hospital, stay out of the morgue. So tell me about your parents. I mean, what age are they? Are they in good shape? Are your grandparents caregiving in your life at all?
Not yet. They're in their 70s. And my mother actually passed away when I was 7. My biological mother, but I hate to even call my stepmother, because she's been such a wonderful mother to me. Like, I hate even saying that, but it is my stepmother and my father, and they, thank God, are both in really good shape. But I have every intention of, I've told them, when I move out of LA, wherever I go, I'm going to buy you a house, and you guys are going to come, and we're going to have a family business together. So, so I'm hoping I can push them into that. But yeah, no, absolutely, I would take care of them forever. They are just the most wonderful. I have been so lucky to have the best parents. I mean, very, very strict growing up, because, you know, as I said, Southern Baptist, but the kindest, most wonderful. You know, on the weekends, you can find my parents packing bags to send to the troops, or, you know, going to an old folks home and bringing cookies, or, you know, whatever. They're just really, really wonderful people. But I love that you're doing this foundation. I think that that's incredible to make sure that your loved ones are going to be taken care of in case something happens to you.
Absolutely.
Well, like you, I'm not a celebrity, but I got a guy who got me on 26 morning shows all across the country, Harvard and University of Hawaii, and off the air we'll talk, and I'll hook you up if you think you need some more help from your publicist.
All right. Well, fantastic.
Oh, you are a sweetheart. Thank you.
And also, Gretchen, last thing, best place we can purchase the book and learn more about you, where can we go? Best place for you to become
Amazon.com. Amazon.com. I think it's on pre-sales right now. And then just various bookstores. I know I'm doing a book signing at Barnes & Noble at The Grove in Los Angeles, and Pop-Up Fear Records in downtown L.A. That's on August 14th. I'm doing one in Chicago, Palm Springs, Phoenix. And just so far, that's what I have so far. But I'm hoping, you know, we can roll it out a little further. But I'm not even sure yet. I'm trying to get a list of who's going to be hearing the book. But right now, I know Amazon.com is definitely where you can pre-order.
All right, Gretchen, thanks for calling. Appreciate you coming on this show. And it was a pleasure. And best of luck.